On 7 Nightly News, police investigating the shooting death of a police officer at Nova Gardens. Exclusive pictures of the new high-tech security cameras that'll be watching you this Christmas. And Cold Chisel makes its return.
Then on Today Tonight, the cell cameras which show an Adelaide man having his shoulder broken by police. He claims brutality, but how do police deal with violence in custody? Also tonight, two strangers in a wedding, the unseen honeymoon tapes and why things went so wrong. Nobody knows.
Fine, mostly sunny. Time now for Martin Molloy.
Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola Island presents Martin Molloy with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin.
And today, well, there's been a number of rumours floating around about this show and its hosts, and we're going to put them to bed once and for all. For example, Mick, what exactly did you mean on Friday's program when you said you'd be late for work today because you were being fitted for a gerbil? What exactly does that mean?
No comment.
You're playing with our listeners' minds. Yeah. Also today, we'll fire up the controversial Martin Molloy Job Network. Recall our very first pilot for this program. That'll be unpleasant. Russell Gilbert is lurking about. We'll have Radio Gladiators. Pease explain, and Paul Hester back from his vacation in the Persian Gulf, I think.
That'll be it.
It's all coming up on the program. Former Media Watch host Stuart Littlemore describes as...
nasty, cowardly stuff.
Martin Molloy. It'd be Matchbox 20, 3 a.m. Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Martin Molloy for yet another week right around the nation with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here. You've probably heard the new Mr. Kate Winslet, Mick Molloy.
Oh, I'm chuffed today.
How did you do it?
Oh, mate, I cannot reveal my secrets.
Did you lure her into the boudoir with a stack of pastries? What was your technique? What were you up to?
I cannot tell.
All right, we're going to get to that later, but let's get to the big news, because there are a lot of rumours floating about in the papers, in the corridors here at the station, all about, and indeed at Sansia's mum's... well, Battle of the Boot Scooters, pre-Christmas scoot-off boot scoot palooza on the weekend. I know all people were talking about were the rumours that this program will not be returning for a fifth year, and sadly, those rumours are true. In short, Mick and myself are knackered, and it's time for this program to have a bit of a lie down. No, Gracie, turn that off. We won't be having any of that. Sure, it's a bit sad, but we don't want to talk, well... down that track. I think, you know, let's just leave it alone. We don't want any of that kind of stuff on the show. All right, Gracie? You ever know that you're my no, that's enough. We're not dead. All right, we're just stopping doing the program. We don't want to hear that. What's that other one people always use? Now I've time of my life. All of them taken out and burnt. There'll be none of that. Just get them out of your system. It's the last time we're going to be hearing it. And I know this is probably coming as a shock to a lot of people, Mick, because a lot of people think that we just rock up at 5 to 4 and piss off at 5 past 6. I know my mum does.
Yes.
But how many sketches have you written in the last 4 years?
Mate.
1,000?
Do you reckon I could write another 00055 sketch if I friggin' well tried? Do you think I could?
Could I work out another way to get the idea of pulling your finger into something? Do you think I could?
I sat down the other day to scathe our Prime Minister. Came up empty.
Well, Mick, don't worry, because the fact is, I believe the children are our future. Take that one out as well, Gracie. Well, get rid of them all. Get rid of them all.
Tony, if I could just take one moment, there is something in all seriousness I'd like to say.
Yes, what would that...
Oh, I did a fart.
You've been saving that, have you?
I've still got one in the tank.
Saving that for our special announcement. Look, the fact is, it's been a huge amount of fun doing this program.
Yep.
It's been the most fun I've ever had with pants on.
Indeed.
And over the last 4 years, Mick, we've had... we had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. That's one from your generation, isn't it, Gracie? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Made that up.
I wish a show like this could go on forever.
Yeah.
I really do, and I wish you could keep doing it. But when you've got a yearning, when there's something inside you, you can't keep putting it off.
Yeah.
And with me, it's musical theatre. And I feel if I don't go now, you know, I don't want to die wondering.
You're
going to miss the boat. I'm going to
miss the boat. Well, it's not over yet. Because between now and our final show on December 4th, you'll be hearing many of our favourite moments on the program making their last appearance ever. Crazy.
Gone too far.
Put that harmonica down. You can't even play the harmonica. How are you doing that?
You're very clever. You're very clever. You know what? I love my time here at the station has been fantastic, and everyone has been brilliant.
Yep.
But there's one thing, and you know, I don't ask a lot.
No.
But you get sick of asking, and the Kashmir Tracky Dacks.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, they never came through. How many hints can you drop? How many, you know, curry my favourite, it's time.
That time you broke into the station manager's office and wrote Kashmir Tracky Dacks in goat's blood on his wall. He never forgave you for that.
You know,
didn't get the message.
Didn't get the message, mate.
Our producer here, I notice, is looking a bit teary. And, Gracie, if I could just turn serious for a moment. You've been there from the beginning, sure. And actually, there is something we'd like to say to you, Gracie, in song.
That's for you, buddy.
What is that? Is that the one from Titanic? I don't recognise that one. Well, Mickey, in summary, we're going to have a great 2 weeks here on the program.
We
really are. And, you know, I don't want to... And that song will not be appearing again over the next 2 weeks, because the only man who'll be serenading us off is Frank Bennett.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world. It's my own design. It's my own remorse. Help me to decide. Help me make the most of nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to rule the world. There's a room where the light won't find you, holding hands while the walls come tumbling down. When they do, I'll be right behind you. So glad we've almost made it. So sad they had to fade it. Everybody wants to.
One of your all-time favourites, Mickey.
That's right.
The Tears for Fears classic done properly.
And,
If people have just tuned in, we are winding up the show in 2 weeks' time, and already the Prime Minister has sent us a personal message.
I have accepted their resignations, and I believe that their resignations are appropriate.
Oh, that'd be just like him.
Yeah. He knows he's off the hook.
We haven't heard the last of that bloke. There'll be more, but hey, Mick, while we're getting a bit nostalgic, let's think back, because, you know, it was only about 4 years ago that we were sitting here celebrating our 100th show.
Wow.
Remember that?
And wasn't that a triumph.
It just seems like yesterday.
Hi, Pete Smith here in the studios of Martin Malloy as we celebrate 100 glorious shows. Martin Malloy has remained essentially unchanged since those early broadcasts all those years ago.
I say, Michael.
What's that, Anthony?
Have you caught sight of this popular new starlet, Raquel Welch, yet?
Yes, she's certainly got a lot of talent up front.
Indeed. Here's my impression of her preparing for a public appearance.
And over the years, the program has brought you some of the biggest names in show business.
And now someone who we predict is going to be around for quite some time. Here she is, Fairly Arrow.
There have been heartwarming moments, like the time Mick and Tony met Luke and Jonah, the Siamese twin babies.
Hey, no talking while his mouth's full.
But it hasn't all been smooth sailing. Who could forget the time the lads played host to Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat?
So, Blimpy, which of all your film and TV appearances has been...
Oh, no, Toad, look, he's got number two.
And the show received a record number of complaints for use of bad language when the controversial material girl Madonna dropped by.
So, Madonna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, your new album's pretty f***ing awful.
It sure is, Tone. It's f***ing horrible.
You're not f***ing wrong. It's f***ing shit.
What do you think, Pete?
It's f***ing. But whenever things have started to look bad, Mick and Tony have always managed to pull something new out of the bag.
Please welcome back our old friend Blimpy.
Oh, no, Tone, look, he's done it again.
Although the show nearly came off the rails the week Mick walked out following a dispute over parking spaces and Tony decided to replace him with a sound-alike.
Now, Mick, the latest survey results show that beer's not as popular as it used to be.
What is going on in this country? We're a nation of dead-set Nancy boys. Beer is number 9 on the list, milk is number 1... Now, all I'm saying is, someone out there is not pulling their weight. What a load of pussies!
But the show achieved its highest ratings ever a week later when I stepped in and healed the rift.
And now, please welcome someone else with a big future in front of her, Colette.
Hi, Tone.
Mick, what are you doing
here? Sorry, Tone. Just a little last-minute surprise arranged by Pete.
Call me Boutros Boutros Copperart.
And who's this with you?
Yes, Tone. It's Blimpy.
Just a few memorable moments from 100 glorious shows. Radio Gladiators is coming up. Call us now on 1-800-657-657 on SAFM.
That'd be stars on 54 if you could read my mind. And the countdown to the final Martin Malloy is officially underway if you've just joined us. And we're recalling old moments. And Mick, it's not the first time we've been removed from the air.
No, that's true.
Of course, we've removed ourselves in this,
that's right.
In this instance. But do you remember when we were taken off in Tasmania?
Yes, I do.
And we decided to call someone who's made a few appearances on the program, and that is Debbie's mum.
Debbie's mum.
Debbie's mum, who's getting on in years, mm-hmm. down in Tasmania.
Yep.
Not a fan of the program at all.
No.
Despite the huge amount of flowers we'd sent her over the years.
That's right.
Remember when we got axed? We gave her a call.
Hello.
Hello, is that Debbie's mum?
Yes.
It's Mick Malloy and Tony Martin here. Remember we spoke to you earlier on Mother's Day?
It is not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
You know it's us. Stop mucking around with us now.
You prove it.
Oh, the only way we can do that is with some toilet humour. But if I remember correctly, you're not too fond on the toilet humour.
No, I am not. Thanks very much. Talk to me about something nice for a change. Don't be vulgar.
It's our vulgarity, which we understand has had us axed from the Tasmanian airwaves. Have you heard about that, Debbie?
No, and I'm not surprised.
Did you have seen anything to do with the final decision?
I wouldn't tell you anyway, but you keep that a secret. Thank you for the flowers. Even though I don't like you, thank you very much for the flowers. They were beautiful.
Right. What about Michael Flatley? Did he ever come round? Remember we were trying to arrange him to come round and do a bit of river dancing on your front lawn?
I don't know him.
You know, the Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley.
Oh, I wouldn't take your nose if you did, I suppose. But I think it was another idiot.
You don't like Michael Flatley either.
Oh, I don't know.
He wears his pants really, really high. You know.
Oh, how disgusting.
Pulled right up his bottom.
I'm going to tell me these things. I don't want to know. It's all very crude.
Well, we just wanted to ring up and see if you could cheer us up a little bit, because we're feeling a bit down since we got the arse from Tasmanian Radio.
Oh, so am I. I've got the flu.
If we were there right now, would you give us a big hug?
No, I would not.
You wouldn't give us a little cuddle?
Trouble you start with you, you wouldn't know when to stop.
I agree, Debbie's mum. Mick Molloy here is all hands.
I've heard you're all hands, too.
I'm not an octopus. What'd you ring for? You're going to send me another bunch of flowers.
Oh, we'll send you a bunch of flowers.
Oh, that'll cheer me up.
We're the ones who need cheering up. We've lost our jobs in Tasmania.
Well, you're right for doing silly things. If you hated yourself, you wouldn't have got the same.
Well, we accept all that, Debbie's mum, but what we want
Don't call me Debbie's mum, call me Dawn.
Describe yourself to us, Dawn.
I will not. You'd only put me down if I did.
Not at all. Yeah. I'm your biggest supporter.
What did you get the sack for?
We were sacked because we were bagging Tasmania, according to the front page of today's Mercury.
Just as well you weren't.
We've never said anything bad about Tasmania.
Oh, you certainly ain't not. How often do you come here?
Been there a couple of times in the last 3 years.
Oh.
I'm not allowed back at the moment.
Oh.
There's a slight legal thing hanging over my head.
Oh, dear.
But as soon as that restraining order's lifted, I'll have my bot and the Tascat. And I'll be down to see you, Dawn.
That'll be nice for you. I can hardly wait.
Would you set a room aside for me? Would you? Would
oh,
you?
Damn, I wouldn't say you're too dangerous. I wouldn't set any room aside for you. John Laws, I might.
Oh!
Here we go. Do you like John Laws?
Of course, he's a nice chap.
Do you like him better than us?
He likes his grog too.
Does he really?
Yes.
Hey, Dawn, we're really calling to enlist your support today.
What for?
We were wondering if you'd be prepared to launch a bit of a protest march down the main street of Hobart.
Yeah, like hell. Having my dead body, son.
I will send you flowers.
I am some sort of freak. I got more to do than walk down the main street, see?
What else is on your mind at the moment, Dawn? Is there anything else you're fed up with?
Yes, the world and everything in it.
What's wrong, Dawn?
Going to the pack. Where's all the happy people gone?
Well, we were trying to make people happy. We were just trying to put a smile on people's faces and we got kicked out of town.
Yes, you do get carried away a bit, you must admit. Anyway, I must go and lay down. I'm feeling poorly.
Okay.
You're really going to send me some flowers?
We'll send you two lots of flowers.
Oh, they were beautiful. They really were. They lasted for nearly a fortnight.
You see, we're not all bad.
No, that's what I say. Pity couldn't be like this all the time.
I love you, Dawn.
I love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's The Brawl with Torn here at Martin Molloy. We're at Ain't Over Yet. There's more coming up. Radio Gladiators. We've got Paul Hester returning from wherever he's been.
Beautiful.
We've got Pease Explained. That's forging on to the next day.
Okay.
But let's welcome somebody else who's got a final show coming up.
Yep.
Coming up tonight, in fact, Russell Gilbert.
Hey, Gilberto.
Oh, guys, so sad to hear that you're going. It's going to be a shock. There's a lot of people crying out there on the road now,
Look, we did have a long, sad decline planned and worked out.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be like, you know, where were you when John Lennon got shot? Well, when you heard Martin Malorton had given up, you know where I was? I was sitting on the crabber.
Ah, good. So was our producer. Gracie.
I was in the Brasco.
Didn't take you long to get your buns in here, Gilbo. We announced in break one, we're quitting. Look, you're sitting in my chair.
Mate, hey, I'm keen as.
What's your game? What are you doing? Get in the car and just move on down the station.
You live in Perth. How did you get here?
He's double pay. His car's out the front with the hazard lights on. The door's still open. Mate, he's ran straight in.
Look, I don't know which part to play. I've got glasses to play you, phone. And I've got the loud yell to play, Mick.
Oh, you've got me down.
I can do it if you want me to. I'm there.
Oh, it's a good workout. Hey, now, Gilbo, we're obviously looking for ideas on how to wind up something. You know, it's been a long time since we had to wind something up. So what are you doing for your final episode tonight? How does it end? Now, let us guess. Is it you and your cast all singing Wind Beneath Our Wings, swaying in the breeze? Is it something like that?
No, it's we're singing Give Peas a Chance. That's your new album, Eat Your Peas.
Yeah.
And I listen and I'm telling everyone out there, It's a great thing. All I am saying is give peas a chance.
How are you winding up your show, Gilbo?
I'm winding up my show tonight. It's the normal thing. You know what I've noticed? Because I watched Benny Hill as a kid. I've closed every show with thanks very much. We'll see you very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know I picked that up from Benny Hill. And that's how I've closed every show.
Yeah, what about the knotted handkerchief on your head? How do you explain that?
You can hear the earth beats pound as they raced across the ground and the clatter of the wheels as they spun round and round. So, his name was Ernie. And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
Hey, we got our own Benny Hill. Yeah.
Now, I'm closing the show tonight. It's just a normal show, but some good things on the night. This is a sketch from Hong Kong, Enter the Gilbo.
Yeah. I went to Hong Kong. I saw a preview of that. Yeah. Looks fantastic, Gilbo.
That's Enter the Gilbo. I've got the pantsless cop, which is a cop who's out there. And
the pantsless cop.
He works undercover and stuff. It's very interesting.
I tell you, one of the funniest comedy sketches I've seen this year was the cuddling detective.
Are you bringing him back? Oh, I don't know. Maybe next year. Who knows? You know, there's no word out there.
I would have thought that the people who make these murder call style shows would be looking at a whole a Halifax style miniseries of the cuddling detective.
There's a movie in it.
He's all hands. The cuddling detective. You've come up with a few franchisable ideas. What about the designated dickhead? Where's his own series?
Yes, I mean, but there is one in every group, isn't there? And no one knows who it is, you know?
No.
I mean, if you put the sticker on him, you've got your designated dickhead, you know who he is, and you know, well, he's the one that can just put crap on anyone in the pub and you can get him beaten up, and that's it. I don't know if there's a series in the designated dickhead, but... Yeah.
Was it hard getting the role of the designated dickhead, Gilbo? Did you have to fight for that one? Did you have to prove yourself dickhead material?
No, I just opened up the top drawer and pulled out my own stickers and just stuck them. I am a designated dickhead.
All right. Given that you are one, would you like to stick around for Radio Gladiators?
Oh, yeah, you know I'd love to stick around for Radio Gladiators.
Right. And you mentioned Benny Hill, and what have you done? You've been accidentally signing off your show as Benny Hill.
Yes, thank you very much, and we hope to see you very, very soon.
Well, I didn't say
that tonight. I think I said I hope to see you next time or some other time, but it's a fun show.
Well, we've got a bit of Benny Hill for you to have a listen to.
Okay.
You know, he's done so many songs over the years, but not many people realise that he was the first man to do that song. I think it was the ARIA Award for Song of the Year a while back.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? It was Kylie Minogue and Nick Cave.
That's right.
Where the Wild Roses Grow.
That's the one.
But it was originally done by Benny Hill. Don't believe me? Check this out.
Well, on the third day, I took her to the river. I showed her the rose and we kissed. And the last thing she heard was her maid word as I knelt above her with a rock in me fist. Yes, I took her where the roses grow, where the wind is as light as a thief. And I kissed her goodbye, said, oh, beauty must die. And I let down, planted a rose in her teeth. Yes, they called her Eliza Dane. They said that she was the best. They called her Eliza Dane. And she drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
We're all in his debt.
I didn't even know that he'd done that, and here I was talking about it. How coincidental. That's spooky.
Another magic moment here at Martin Malloy.
This is Martin Malloy.
Yes, of course, they're serious.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola Island.
Hi, I'm Richard from Morphettville, listening to Martin Malloy on SAFM.
It is still Martin Malloy, thanks to Coca-Cola Island, who have stuck with us through thick and thin.
They have indeed.
And now let's have a bit of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Russell Gilbert is with us today on Martin Malloy because his final show is going to air tonight.
That's right.
I'm sure that'll be back for another series, though, Gilbert. Surely.
Oh, no one knows. I'm actually thinking radio now.
Yeah, well, get in the queue.
I just ran out a big pile of telly sketches and turned them over. I'm using the back of the paper to write radio.
All right.
Stuff.
Well, I think Mikey Robbins wants a word first. Now, listen. Gilbo, we're obviously out of a gig in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be looking for a job.
That's right.
So it's time to fire it up.
Mm.
The Martin Malloy Job Network.
Yes.
It's failed us in the past.
That's why we're giving it another run. It's going to fail us again. So, we love failure.
So let's find out what kind of work is actually out there in the community.
Mm.
Call up with new jobs for me and Mick. I've always pictured us, Mickey, years from now, driving a cab together, still doing our show to whoever's in the back. You know, just... With me
Maybe Gracie hiding in the boot,
yes,
firing off tapes of music so yes, we can play Radio Gladiators.
Oh.
Right, anyone over the back got a funny pet story? I'll put on a song while you think about it. And what have we got in the glove box? Three pack of CDs!
That's what I've always
pictured. People stop and have to put in half the fare. That's if right, they're the special guest. And we're picking up our special guest in just a minute.
Well, we'd stop at street corners so for all the complaints.
That's right.
So people can bark them at us.
Mm.
Any ideas, Mickey?
Oh, look, I've got something I've always wanted to do, but yeah. Do I dare to dream?
What are you talking about?
Become a reality?
What? What?
Wheel to the left. Wheel to the left, buddy. No ramming. Keep your hands inside the cars, and let's keep them going in a clockwise direction. No ramming.
It's just a dream, but I, you know.
You got the bum crack for that. You know.
You know, but you wonder, though, is that how it'll turn out, or will it be different somehow?
Hey, little fella, spare some change for the Wilderness Society.
Matthew, come here. Get away from that koala bear. It's drunk.
Get stuff.
And put that cigarette out. Look at you. You're a disgrace.
Hey, lady, can you pin my flap up at the back? My bottom's getting cold.
Your bottom's getting cold. You're doing old material when you're in that gig. What a dreamer.
I reckon that is somehow prophetic.
Mick, I'm getting into sport.
You're getting into sport?
Yeah, because you...
There's the bombshell we've been looking for.
Because I finally found a sport that I reckon I'd be good at. Junior boxing. Punching on with these kiddies.
Oh, yeah, give it to them, Tony.
I reckon I could take a couple of them down.
Take no prisoners, buddy.
And what's the bout you've organised? It's me versus Nathan Cavalieri.
He's getting big. He might do. You want to get into the girl box.
They're
a lot easier.
Will we use guitars? All right. Here's someone with an unusual job.
Mm.
Simon Morley.
Oh, yeah.
Of Puppetry of the Penis fame.
Well, you know what? I reckon he'll be grieving more than anyone today, because I reckon our announcement, while it was hard for us, is the final nail in the coffin for the Puppetry of the Penis bandwagon. Those boys are out of a gig. Put your dicks away. It's over. It's all over.
Because without us, Simon Morley is just a man without pants driving around in a van. Really, isn't he? That's all it is.
He's not going to bob up on John Laws, is he?
Oh, I don't know.
He does, John Laws.
He does. Yeah. That's one. He's... I don't want to elaborate.
He uses a stilo pad for a merkin. It's very lifelike. Have you seen... I've been looking at the job adverts in the papers, Mickey.
You didn't take long, did you? You're already cracking.
But there was an interesting case in the papers last Thursday, I think this was. Mm. Someone has won the rights to use, ads, phrases in ads which may seem discriminatory,
right.
Because, you know, they're worried about being sued. But this is an ad which has been approved. Listen to this.
Right.
Wanted sexy, voluptuous tease in her 20s. They're allowed to use that. I think it's actually the White House are putting this ad in. That is, you can use that phrase in an advertisement. A modelling agency, in fact, has won the rights to.
That's how we got sense.
Oh, is that it?
It was the exact same phraseology.
Sexy, voluptuous tease.
Nabbed her. And it's still working for me. Have a squiz, boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Woohoo! Sad to nearly be ending.
That's illegal. I love Gilbo's... His acting is so good, he's actually looking at our producer when he made that noise. Puppetry of the Penis. The reason I mention it, we've received a fantastic email about the origins of Puppetry of the Penis.
Okay.
You wouldn't think there'd be a precedent for it in history.
Origins?
We're going to be going way back in the next hour.
Okay.
On Martin Molloy. But in the meantime, call up with a new job for me and Mick. Anything you reckon we'd be good at. And do we have a prize, Gracie? Oh, yes, we certainly do. And it's understood to involve our guest today, but we're not quite sure.
The King of Coca-Cola Island. You are the King of Coca-Cola Island. Don't come in here and say you're not the King of Coca-Cola Island.
I haven't heard. Look,
what do you mean?
Well, look, there could be somebody else. I want to be the King.
Nobody else is wearing the hat made out of beaks on our island, Coca-Cola Island. It's got to be you, Gilbert.
It sounds like Gilbert.
It sounds like the place to be. I want to go there. I don't
Who's
know.
Who's trying to cut your lunch? Who's the man who would be King?
Borny. It must be Shane Bourne. Marty Fields. Alexander Downer. It's somebody.
I don't know.
We've got a Coca-Cola Island pack for the winner, and you'll be in the draw for a trip for you and three friends to go to Coca-Cola Island, going off this Friday on this program. 1-800-657-657. Work. That's what we're talking about today at Radio Gladiators on Martin Molloy. Russell Gilbert is sitting in. He's had a few jobs. What's the worst job you've done over the years, Gilbert?
Probably putting the holes in donuts. That was...
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
No. You worked on the stunning line for a few years,
didn't you? Yes, as a butcher. That was a terrible job. And, there's a lot of things you can do. You know what you can do? You do that old thing I used to do, was sell old newspapers at traffic lights. There's money to be made in that.
Sure.
They're just on the move, mate. You just hand them and, there they go.
And it's environmentally friendly.
That's true.
We're looking for a new gig, me and Mick. Mm-hmm. People have some fantastic ideas. Craig is on the line. Craig?
Yep.
What do you got for us, mate?
Well, you have been dishing out shit for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
So I figure the best job in the world for you is to walk behind the mounted police when they're on parade and pick up their shit after they shit.
I thought we were trying to get out of show business. Is that what we do?
That'd be our big break, I reckon. I'd fight you for that.
And it'd serve us right.
A little cart that you can push, so you can push that down with your little tray. One can push and one can shovel, and you can take it in turn.
Given this way too much thought, Craig.
I reckon they should pick it up with their hands, Craig.
I reckon Craig's been trying to get through with this is the answer for every Radio Gladiators we've done in 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
All right. To get through for 4 years, I have never been able to get through to this show.
I can't get through. I go down during the ads to the shop outside the 7-Eleven. I phone up. Santa, you won't let me on.
I know.
What's going on?
It's quite a spectacle.
All right, Dean is on the line. Dean, are you there?
Yep.
What is our new gig? What is it?
Well, with your great figures, I reckon tabletop dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, boys, because you can get Laminex burn.
You're
on the tabletops.
Really? You've done a bit of this.
I've done a little bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously more skilled than we'd be used to. It's actual choreography.
I don't think we could. That's true.
Yeah, you've got to know when to tip a jug of beer over your breast.
That's right.
You know, it's not just random.
I couldn't compete with your bony ass. That'd be taking all the big tips, you know what I mean? People would be stuffing those lobsters down the back of your pants, and I'd be sitting there gyrating it round, but just coming up empty.
What were we going to call?
Short change.
We need a name for our tabletop dancing club. What would we call it?
Oh, I don't know.
Brown fingers.
Brown fingers. And I reckon, Tone, and
excuse me.
And Tone, I reckon it's just us in our underpants, and the only tips we take are coin. So the coin has to just weigh our underpants down the end of the gig.
Yeah. And where the wife run undies so they can slip the coins in that little slot.
But, Mick, how out of shape are our underpants going to be once the GST comes in?
Oh, no.
Lee's got an idea. Are you there, Lee?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
What should we be doing?
You know how much you love Andrew Lloyd Webber and cats and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was thinking just go to the opera and sit in the top booth like the two old guys from the Muppets and just bag out in all the plays.
Yeah. Not bad. Mick often does that himself for his own amusement, doesn't he? You've savaged the boy from Oz too many times, I reckon.
I give it to him every night. I show him the ass from Oz. Two butt cheeks leaning over the balcony.
Cop that, ne'er-do-well. Gilbo, you've been heckled over the years. Have you ever gone along and done any heckling yourself? Have you ever done that?
No, I remember I did heckle a comedian when I went and seen My Bear Lady, I think it was called, with a bunch of emotion when I was 21. I was given the comedian a heaps, heaps and heaps before this, before I even decided I was ever going to do it. And, you know, my mates had been giving me a lot of shit about the shirt I was wearing. I had this horrible shirt on. Yeah. And they'd been telling me off all day about this shirt. And then at the end of the... I gave it to this comedian that much. Yeah. And he goes, I can tell you're here for a laugh, mate. I can tell by the shirt you're wearing. And my table went up because my mates have been giving me heaps. And they loved it. And he buried me. I was done.
And
I was done.
Years later when you were doing that for a job, did that bloke ever show up?
No.
Really well dressed?
My Bear Lady?
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Eight of me mates, it was a strip show and he was
a comedy gig. Now it's a strip show.
He was in the middle of a stripper and we just wanted to get him off because we didn't come to hear lame jokes. We were 21. We'd never seen naked women.
Did you heckle the naked women? Don't show us your tits. All right. Thanks very much, Lee. Have we got Chris, are you on the line?
Yeah, how are you, guys?
What's the gig for us, mate?
Oh, I've got a few for you, actually.
Yeah?
Here we go.
First one you guys would make, I reckon, top security guards.
Security guards?
Mm. I reckon that'd be an interesting one for you.
Yeah, what else you got?
Second one, you guys could be bouncers.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon you've probably met a few people who'd want to knock you about in your time.
Oh, yes.
You've done your research.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the security guards. I know Tony Martin already carries a piece, but it's on his head.
Oh, look, that can't be. It's just showing up to a building, getting a tiny business card, folding it in half and putting it in between the doors and going home, isn't it?
That's it. Sometimes you get your mate to, oh, can you just put that in those doors on the way home for?
I can't even be bothered going. What's your third one there, Chris?
The third one, you guys, you know, the set of traffic lights, you see those guys who come up and wash your windscreen?
Oh, that'd be right. That'd be what we deserve.
Absolutely.
How long have we been bagging those people?
Oh, yeah.
No, we will do intersection work, but we're going to do something your car doesn't do for you. Yeah. We've said it before.
That's right.
Here's a little trick to do when you get someone who does your windscreen.
Yeah.
Just before the light, ask them to do the back window, because then you can just take off before you give them the money and you don't run them over. I mean, if you take off when they're doing the front, it's a lot of mess and you've got to stop at the next set of lights.
Yeah,
so clean the blood off.
As
so you get them to do the back so you can just take straight off.
Speaking from personal experience.
I think so.
All right, not bad ideas from Chris, but Sue is waiting to go. Sue?
Hi, how are you?
What's the job for us?
I'd like you both to be school bus drivers.
Oh.
Because I reckon if we can put you with a bunch of kids and at the end of the day, if you've still got a sense of humour,
well,
then you're doing well.
I'm picturing a whole bus full of kiddies, you know, listening to what we got to say and going, it's just a little bit immature for my liking, don't you feel?
I'm seeing you behind the wheel of the bus and me on the roof in the big dress from Priscilla.
I'm talking high school here, guys. They could probably teach you a trick or two.
They supply us with some of our best material, I'll have you know, sir.
Yeah, they'll teach you a trick or two. All we learned in the high school bus was how to moon old women at the opposite bus stops going past. That was about it.
What do they learn at high school these days?
Yeah,
how to load a gun, probably.
Kids
today. All right, let's speak to Dawn. Dawn, what's your idea?
I reckon you should work in a funeral parlour.
What could we bring to that?
Well, that way you could still tell all your jokes and everything and you wouldn't offend any of us.
Mm. Oh, I see.
All right. Wearing Life Be In It T-shirts. Just, you know.
So the idea being dead people really fax in to complain.
Yes.
All right.
That's the one. Well, I'll give it a go.
It's a tough crowd, but we'll give it a burl.
I think George Smilovich used to turn up to funerals wearing Life Be In It T-shirts, so I think.
Did he?
He's a practical joker.
Wow.
All right.
Crikey.
That's George Smilovich. He'll be in the queue for this show.
Yeah.
Have we got, finally, Aaron, are you there?
Aaron. Yeah, I'm there, Mick and Tone. How you doing?
Good. What do you got for us?
I reckon you guys should open up a school of etiquette.
A school of etiquette?
Your manners are incredible. The amount of belching and farting that I hear on your show.
Yeah, it'll be belching and farting, but we'll have, like, books on the top of our heads at the time.
That's right.
Our posture will be near perfect.
That's it. It doesn't just happen, you know.
Which one do you like here, Russell Gilbert? Oh. We've got shovel and shit. We've got the tabletop dancers. We've got Muppets. We've got security guards. We've got school bus drivers. We've got working down the funeral parlour. And, of course, the Martin Molloy School of Etiquette and Deportment.
The one that made me laugh, which you seem to have the most fun with, guys, was the actual tabletop dancers.
Yes,
Dean, the tabletop dancer, Dean.
Are you there, Dean?
Yeah.
All right, it looks like we're going to have to go with your idea.
That's all right.
Not going to be pretty.
And the first dance is for you, pal. Come and get it. Don't touch.
You like the slip piece down there, make them bigger.
The Coca-Cola Island pack is yours, and you're in the draw for the trip for you and three friends to go to Coca-Cola Island. That's going off this Friday.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. All
right, and who knows? Who will be there? Skacey, that's who we're
tipping. Maybe, you never know.
A few special guests. We will be back at the next hour. Yep. And guess who's back as well? Paul Hester!
This is Martin Molloy.
What a handicap. How they've held me back these many months.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola Island. Nobody knows that.
Fine and mostly sunny all week.
And in this hour of Martin Molloy, it's not over yet. We'll have Pees Explain, our very first pilot for this show. And yes, there's always room for Paul Hester, all thanks to Coca-Cola Island. It's Chumbawamba with Tub Thumping here at Martin Molloy. It's the second hour. We didn't say goodbye properly to Russell Gilbert. He's still here. And Gilbert, we're going to be seeing you in again before the final show on Friday week.
I hope so. I mean, it's very sad for me to see us go. I mean that. And I wish us both best of luck. I mean that sincerely.
Give him the Aerosmith, Gracie. Give him the Aerosmith.
Hey, come on. Where can people see you live? I know it's your final show tonight, Channel 9, 8:30.
8:30. And I'm doing a couple of shows, one at the Canberra Labor Club on the 3rd of December and one at the 4th at the Broad. Broadway Entertainment Centre in Wagga Wagga.
Oh, beautiful. In Wagga Wagga.
Wagga Wagga and Canberra. Oh, yeah. Fourth, third and fourth.
So, catch the travelators.
Yeah,
do it, buddy.
And maybe in January I'm going to head up to Queensland, maybe do a few gigs and get a bit of a tan.
Beautiful. But, Gilbert, can I ask, are the rumours true that tonight you will be taking Ally McBeal head-on by wearing the micro mini for the whole opening monologue?
Yeah, and it is true. I have got that eating disorder. I mean, people are getting it wrong. They're thinking that Ally McBeal's got the eating disorder. Mm. It's me. Okay, I've come clean, and you can read about me next week in Who.
Give him a round.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Gilbert. We'll see you again. And our guest is here, Mickey.
Good.
And he's been working. This bloke has a few ideas for our final show. Mm. You and Mick playing celebrity in a sack on the steps of the Opera House. You can't go wrong. Well, he should know because he is Paul Hester.
Bloody part-timers, hey? What a pair of part-timers. I told you to stay with the magic. Don't mess with your magic. That was the first thing I told you, boys, years ago.
Yeah, just before you resigned from Crowded House.
Mate, that was after 15 years of carrying around the older guy's luggage. Now, I don't know about you, boys. How long have you been on the go here? What, three or 4 months? How long has it been?
Since August.
Yeah. Gracie, bloody doing all the hard work, filling in all the forms after you go to the gym and 6:15 and all that stuff.
Oh, you're out of line, buddy. You know what? You are out of order. And it's not often I say that, but you are out of order, mon frere.
And what's where the suntan come from? Are you looking like George Hamilton?
No, look. I could reveal the rest of my body, but you don't want to see that.
No, go on. No, you saved that for Black and White magazine.
No, I'm brown from the neck up to television form. Oh, yeah, okay. No, it's just makeup.
Oh, is that what it's about? See, once you're on the telly,
you just leave it on.
You just look like JR every day.
That's right.
I bumped into Russell in the hallway. Yeah. He's looking gorgeous. His tan's up. Mine's up. Mm. Our people are in, touching us up all the time.
Is that right?
Beautiful life. You guys should get a show.
How has life... I mean, you get up in the morning, Paul, the way you've always done. Yeah. But how has your everyday life changed by now being on the telly?
Oh, I do a lot less. Yeah, now I'm on the telly.
Yeah.
I can't. No, sorry, mate, I can't. I'm on the telly at 10:30 tonight. It's only, what, it's 5 o'clock, so I've got to start getting ready. I can't. No, sorry, mate, I can't put her to bed tonight. I've got to watch the telly.
It was recorded in April, but I'm flat chat.
Oh, no, see, now's when I'm making my notes for the next series, you know, if anyone wants to give me a call from the ABC or Beyond Productions, I'd appreciate that.
You say you've made some notes on yourself. Yourself, Hesse. What have you noticed about you? What would you like to change so far about your performances?
I've got two words. Yeah. I've been looking at my head on the telly and there's a few little bald spots poking through.
Oh, really? Oh,
they've been shooting me from behind. They've been shooting me from on top.
It's a conspiracy.
It is.
And they set out to do that.
Oh, look, me and Russell Morris, we got together, put our heads together. What do I do, Russell? You just do this. You make sure the cameras are there and there. Don't let them do any stuff over from the lighting grid. Yeah. And what do I see on the telly? Weak in and weak outs. It's shots of Hesse's weak points.
Yeah, but you're exposing them. That's what the shed is all about.
I guess so.
I mean, you can't get caught up in that, Hesse, otherwise you'll end up like that Bruce Willis. That film was on telly last night.
What?
Hudson Hawk.
Oh, yeah.
It's shocking, isn't it? That hasn't, you know, a lot of people said to me at the time, no, in 5 years' time, that's going to be a classic. Hasn't happened yet. And that was the film where Bruce Willis went back one frame at a time with the computers and filled in the old bald spot. Seriously.
I haven't got the time for that.
No? You can't do that? Got nothing like that down the ABC?
No, they got this can of spray that you can spray on your hair that's instant hair. And, I mean, some of the news guys use it, but I don't think I need to use it. I think I'd go the Greg Matthews, Tony Lockett's freaking me out on late night television.
If it works for me!
You know, so I'm, you know, scared. I'm going to go in there and get a bit of that gear done, I think, for the next series.
But what about respect? Are you getting a lot more respect? People see you in the street and it's like there's a bit of awe there now.
Oh, well, no. No, I got a car park space given up to me in Byron Bay last week. That was pretty good.
That doesn't happen ordinarily.
No. Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I went to Nimbin. I'll tell you more about that next. But one guy I talked to on the street, he came up and said, mate, I love the show. Hesse Shed, it's unreal, mate. Hannaford was amazing, mate. It's great, mate. And then his mate came up and went, yeah, mate, I love the show, man. It's fantastic, you know. And I said, well, it's great. It's on the ABC, I guess, because it goes everywhere and everyone can watch it. And he went, oh, well, we don't get the ABC, man. So I just left that there.
So he was just picking it up somehow himself.
I don't know if I've been watched or not.
That was the mayor and deputy mayor of Nimbin. And beautifully impersonated too.
Indeed.
All right, we better find out what Hesse's been up to.
Yeah.
And we'll do that next on Martin Malloy.
Hey, it's Jennifer Page with Crush. It's Martin Malloy. Paul Hester is here, back from his, sabbatical, we'll call it that.
You've been to Nimbin.
Oh, look, you know, I went to Byron.
I think he's still in Nimbin.
I am. I'm looking at him. My head's up there. Mm. My soul's, a bit of my soul's left in the Nimbin Museum.
Oh, surprise.
Yes, I cut myself on one of the old combis as I was trying to lean in and steal something. After I'd made my dollar donation at the door. Yeah, but anyway, I mostly stayed in Byron, which is a town unto itself.
Sure.
It's funny. I think there's no high rise in Byron, so there's a lot of sun.
Yeah.
And everyone gets a lot of sun. So you go really wacko really quick after a few years, you know.
Oh, it's the sun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. So I went up there for a few weeks and dagged around on the beach, did a bit of nude swimming, because nude swimming's been banned. Yeah. First thing I did, togs off, straight in. Funnily enough, no one seemed to be offended. No one saw anything.
Banned? Why has it been banned?
Was there an incident?
Yeah, it was. They tried to create a nude bathing area in Byron, and the council had been, you know, sort of... eventually voted in favour of having this sort of stretch of beach was about a mile, 2 miles away from Byron Bay. You have to get a bus and a tram to go there. So everyone's down there nude sunbaking, this young girl's down there nude sunbaking, and this sort of idiot dickhead guy running around nude decides to go jump on this girl while she's sunbathing sort of, you know, romp-pomp-a-chomp sort of deal.
Right.
He goes to, you know, they all go to court. The magistrate in Byron Court goes, well, you know, the girl's been sunbaking. She's asking for it.
Oh,
and they let him off scot-free.
Is that right?
So Byron is in a mess politically, and the law up there's gone mad. There's too much sun. There's not enough high-rise of old blokes in high-rise buildings getting a bit of, you know, staying out of the sun. Basically, is my mic still on?
Yes, it's still going out.
No, sorry to let you down that track.
That's what happened.
It was a grisly story.
The only question I'm asking is, was the judge nude at the time?
Mm. Well, you know, there could be a good chance of that happening very soon.
Well, you know, there's nudity is bandied about, and we've talked about this before, in the post-Full Monty era. It seems it's just okay to drop your pants whenever and whenever.
Oh, yeah,
and, well, listen, do you see this in the news today, Mickey? Someone claims to have set a world first nude radio record.
That's right.
Now, listen to this, Paul. See if you think this is authentic.
How can you tell that's true?
Yeah, well, that's it. But the Guinness Book are involved. The organisers of the Far North Queensland annual Running of the Bulls charity event hope to enter the Guinness Book of Records with an unusual feat, a live radio interview involving 200 nude men. The nude runners packed around a telephone booth for the interview with ABC Radio after completing laps of a large roundabout in the mining town of Waipa yesterday. The event, which raises money for a good cause, blah, 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 staged every year. Now, so interviewing 200 nude men on the radio is enough to get you into the Guinness Book. Surely we can top that. Surely we can get 210 nude blokes.
Damn it.
Round a microphone.
We'll have a cramming competition in this studio. It'll just be nude blokes all up against each other.
And does that constitute an interview? You've got one person on the phone, 199 nude blokes just doing circles in the phone box. That's an interview, is it?
Well, we're all sitting around the nude right now. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought it was worth commenting on.
No.
Because, you know, it just seems to me to be a natural thing to do. But these guys are trying to, you know, get some mileage out of it.
If there's something positive we can do before we sign off, it's beat that 200 nude men on the radio record.
Done.
You're going to lead the charge on this one, Paul?
Mate, I'm there. I am as I was born most of the time. You know me. I only put the tacky dacks on, you know, after the news in the evenings.
You certainly
do. I like to watch them right up there raw. Yeah. I like the news to hit me raw and go through the pores of me skin, come out me butthole and me ear holes and me mouth and me nose. And, you know, I like to let it go through me and regurgitate back at them.
Well, I know that Brian Naylor's retiring in Melbourne. Have you thought about applying for that job, Paul?
Well, it's time for Brian to retire. I mean, I think he's sick of telling everyone what to do. He's sick of telling everyone what's going on. Yeah. Brian told me this, Brian told me that. Mm. Brian told me the other day I couldn't give a shit.
Mm. Well, see, that's where Brian Naylor went wrong. Yeah. See, if he had spent the news bulletin in the nude, like you, he'd probably still be on air today.
Well, he'd be a lot fitter.
And the promos would be What Paul Reckons. That would be the new jingle.
What Paul Reckons.
Done. All right, well, we've hardly put your brain to good use yet, Paul.
No.
I reckon there's a lot more in there.
Yeah.
Do you want to go straight into this, Gracie? Is that what you're suggesting?
Do you want to do this, guys?
Whatever. Who's helping us out with Peas Explained?
Gurinder.
Gurinder, the bloke works at our shop. Take it away.
It's time to play...
Peas Explained.
That's right. Peas Explained.
Peas Explained.
To celebrate the release of Mick and Tony's third album, Eat Your Peas, we've given Peas Explain a bit of a respray and hey presto.
Peas Explained.
It's got every other segment on the show green with envy. But don't worry, the gist is the same.
Peas Explained.
If something's got you buggered... Mick and Tony still want to hear about it. The so-called flatulence filter.
Peas Explain.
Gracie's attendance at Sexpo.
Peas Explain.
Those lazy bastards, Mick and Tony, refusing to do a fifth year.
Peas Explain.
Just call us with your stumper and we'll see if we can't nut it out for you live on air. And yes, we do have a prize for the most brain-bending conundrum. Every winner on
Peas Explain
bags a three-part of CDs featuring the soundtrack from 54, Danny the Singles, and surprise, surprise, Eat Your Peas. Okay, lads, you've still got some explaining to do.
Oh, there's always explaining to do. And Eat Your Peas is apparently in the shops.
Yes.
World's longest comedy album. Paul, what's the sort of etiquette when you put out a new album? Is it the done thing to sneak down to a record shop and see if they've got it? I mean, I'm too embarrassed to go into a record shop in case somebody sees me looking for Eat Your Peas.
Really?
Peas Explain.
Yeah,
so where do you lurk?
Yeah.
Where do you go? You just...
I don't. I just assume that it's out there because Pete told me so.
Okie dokie.
Oh, you've got to have the phone number. You should have the direct line to the big fella, the big G. Gadinsky's got the bloody notes. He's got the papers. He's sitting at home with about 20 litres of moisturiser on his forehead trying to get rid of that sunburn from the concert of the century. And he'd be at home now, sitting there like Gomez Bloody Adams with his ticker tape thing coming out going, "Hey, you want some money?" Opening a drawer, throwing it at some kid. "Hey, what do you want? What's your name? Get out of here. Do you want to buy it? Well, leave." Okay, Mick and Tony, you just ring him up. "What do you sold? What do you sold? 25, 35, 70, 80, 90. Call me in 10 minutes.
Explain.
That's what you need.
You know, it's all very well for you to go on about Michael Gudinski, but he's just had his concert of the century.
Yeah.
And I'm now, have you seen this photo in Who Magazine today?
No.
It's on page 39 of Who Magazine. You just have a look at it down the bottom. Describe what's going on in that photograph. Be very careful.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, everybody knows that Molly Meldrum used to be a record producer.
Yes.
And he's very familiar with microphones, valve microphones. And Michael Gudinski, not many people know this, has been almost, he's almost a robot. He's been completely replaced over the years. He talks about going to Hawaii to do record deals, but he goes over there to get a little bit extra of robotic work done on his on his butt, so he can actually stamp in time when he hears the music.
What is going on?
What is happening?
Please explain.
Molly is actually in this photo connecting a microphone directly into Gudinski's valve bum amplifier. And this is the sound that the concert of the century is looking for.
What is it? Have you seen this picture?
Oh, no, I've seen it, and I don't know what to say.
Michael Gudinski has a microphone coming out of his pants.
Mm.
Molly Meldrum is attempting to, well, wrestle it to the ground.
Please explain.
And Michael Gudinski still has the presence of mind to give Molly the bunny ears while all that's going on.
Hey.
Is that the cover for the video?
Look, he's probably sunstroke, the poor bastard. You know, probably at that stage, you wouldn't know what's happening.
Is that how deals are shaken on these days?
I think that's how Molly prefers to sign the dotted line, yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but look, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, two gentlemen.
Yeah.
I use the word loosely. In the business, one grabbing the other one on the genital area, the other one giving him the funny rabbit ears.
Thing, I mean.
That's a general boardroom technique, yeah, as far as I remember.
We just wouldn't want to be out of step.
No.
All right, what have you found this guy saying?
Please explain.
Yeah, no, look, I'm just having a laugh at... Here's another funny photo. We do great funny photos on this radio program, don't we?
We do.
We really paint the picture for the people out there.
What have you got?
Well, I'm having a look at two Tibetan... monks down the beach. And I thought that was Hesse at Byron.
Please explain.
Now,
Do they have fun or what, these Tibetan monks? They're free-balling, aren't they? Under those robes, they're free-balling. Like, you think, you know, I look at the Tibetan monk brief and I think it's all nutty chanting. It's all sitting around with your legs crossed somewhere. They're down the beach, they're honking onto horns, they're free-balling, the robes are flowing. That's the gig.
That's the gig.
But get out of radio. That's going to be you and me this time next year in the wacky hats with the big thumping horns just dagging about in the beach, buddy.
Are those the horns that people take to the footy? You know, when you hear those man horns going off? Is that there?
I'd like to see a whole section in an orchestra full of those horns. That'd be a good look.
Well,
I thought they were pipes at Nimbin. Oh, that is Hesse.
I'm afraid if that had the horn been bent the other way, bong style, that would be Hesse,
I imagine. That's what's going on your holidays.
I see.
Say that for the kids.
Yeah, well, what if we got...
They expect it of me.
What if we got here? Watch out for people popping stuff in your drinks, everybody, because have you seen the story, thieves drug and rob tourists?
Oh, no.
Yes, it's a...
Please explain.
That's what
what's
it is.
What's going on?
Australian tourists in Asia are being put to sleep and robbed after accepting sweets and drinks laced with a powerful sleeping drug.
Oh. I'm sure it's not just people having too many drinks in Bali and nodding off.
Right,
Oh, I've been drugged! What's happened? I've been drugged with these 7,000 island coolers! A spate of robberies in the Philippines and China has prompted warnings from the Department of Foreign Affairs. That's Alexander Downer. Mm. Somebody slipped him a Mickey. Apparently. The victims, mainly British and Australian tourists, have found themselves knocked out for 24 hours after accepting spiked food and drink from... You should never accept spiked food from strangers, I find.
Never.
And you're going, how's this happening? Well, you know, people are having stuff snuck in their drinks in, bars or whatever. You don't notice. You look away for a second, sure. It can happen. But then there's examples of somebody getting into a cab. You know, now when you get into a cab, what do you do? Do you look around for a drink? Is that normally what you would do?
Listen, if you're in the front seat, you might.
Once in the car, the victims are introduced to the robber's younger sister, who offers them an orange juice laced with drugs.
Please explain.
Yeah, who's getting into a cab and
nothing suspicious so far.
Has you got an OJ in the cab? We don't get this back home. You don't get that in business class on an airline.
Well,
so you think you're going to get in a cab in Bali and someone's coming out with a packet of peanuts and an orange juice? You go, oh, nothing suspicious here. I might just drink the whole lot.
Probably even half a ton of dry ice coming out of it
with a big moustache.
Oh, look, is that what you're looking for? The other day we were playing this, Hesse. Have a look at this. This is one of the toys, the bad guy, in fact, from the new film A Bug's Life, which is a fine new Disney animated
effort.
And here's the sound it makes when you press it. I'll just play it to you again. Listen to this. Now, people have been faxing and emailing us saying, what were you guys doing playing that recording of the Prime Minister on your show for? Mm. Listen to this.
There he is laughing at that digger's joke at that RSL. Our Prime Minister is the new villain in A Bug's Life.
Oh, keep going, buddy.
That's uncanny.
Go on.
Oh. There it is.
This is great fun.
And it's not hard to picture our Prime Minister as an insect.
Please explain.
Dear. That's a funny face. It's just trying to boost his super, I think.
Hey, Tone, you know... I went up to the counter at my local bank.
Yeah, did you?
And I wanted to make a transaction. And they said, sure, but first, drink this glass of cordial. And I don't know what happened, but when I came round, I had nothing in my pockets. You bastard!
Mickey, I'm sure people have heard the news. If you bank with the Commonwealth, you'll have to get ready for a rise in withdrawal fees, surprise.
Please explain.
Oh, dear.
As of next month, they'll be increasing by up to 50 cents a transaction.
Please explain.
All over-the-counter withdrawals at bank branches and post offices will cost $2, and ATM withdrawals will cost 60 cents up from 45.
Please explain.
On your Commonwealth.
So what are they doing? They're serving you a latte and a bit of bloody carrot cake with it or something. What's going on?
Well, obviously,
obviously the enormous profits that they've been making require them to put all their prices up. It's, I mean, it's clearly some kind of logic we're just not grasping.
I've said it, Mick said it, I've said it, Gracie's thought about it, but we're in the wrong game. We are in the wrong game.
We'll open our own bank.
That's a great game.
What about this
one idea?
Make
a profit, put up your services, because you made profit out the last time.
And here's what we'll do, here's how we'll make money. We'll open our own bank and then systematically close it down and charge fees for doing so.
And I notice a few of the banks are starting to merge. Are we heading towards Peter Costello's super banks?
Please explain.
Because when there's only two banks to choose from, I'm sure the fees will come plunging down.
Oh, right, the super and the duper.
That's
right.
What about this for an idea? What about if everyone in Australia just gets together, we just all pull our money out of all the banks, we find somewhere to put it, somewhere safe, I don't know, Mallorca, and we say to the banks, we're not giving you back our money until you can start treating people like decent human beings. Is that just a crazy idea off the top, top of my head?
Please explain.
Oh, well, I called my bank manager and this is all he had to say. Fees are going up again. The super banks are coming. Banks are closing again. Get ready for the merger.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
we're having fun.
I'm not exaggerating. Those figures are...
Oh, it's fantastic.
Your legitimate news.
We've missed a meeting somewhere.
We have had a few calls about something I said in the previous hour. Well, no, not that. About something else I mentioned.
Please explain.
Puppetry of the penis.
Yeah.
You know, I know Simon Morley is a pioneer.
Yes.
I don't know anyone else who makes a living from doing what he does. But listen to this email we've received from Gazza. And he says that he's just been reading Spike Milligan's war memoirs. Remember those mad war memoirs Spike Milligan put out a few years ago? Yep. Adolf Hitler, My Part in His Downfall. Apparently, on page 68 of Adolf Hitler, My Part in His Downfall, he talks about the nights they used to have in the army. This is in World War II.
Yes.
Where they would have entertainment shows and people would do their skills for everyone else in the platoon. This is actually word for word from Spike Milligan's book. But the most unbelievable act was Gunner Plunger Bailey, who did an entire 20-minute act with his genitals.
Wow.
It was done on a very professional basis. After lights out, a gunner would use a torch as a spotlight, which lit the artist's genitals. The third member of the act, you see, Simon's streamlined the formula.
Absolutely.
Would light the third member of the act, Bill Hall, sang Birdsong at Eventide as the star manipulated his genitals to resemble sausage on a plate, the last turkey in the shop, sack of flour, the roaring of the lions, and the most popular, using a pair of spectacles, Groucho Marx.
Please explain.
How's that? I mean, Simon's a bit of a purist. No props for Si.
Sure.
You know, I've tried to get him to include a cigar.
No.
He won't go for it.
Won't go for it.
So there you go. Only 20 minutes, but...
Only 20 minutes.
Yeah, Simon's up to main event length these days.
That's right.
Is that all we want to talk about at this point?
I think I'm done.
Because I think we want to get the listeners involved.
It's time.
There's plenty of things to explain, and we've got the time to do it, and the brain of Paul Hester at our disposal. Give us a call, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Molloy.
And if you think that a little chorus like that is going to change my view, then you are very sadly mistaken.
Explain.
Thank you, Gorinda.
Good on you, Gorinda.
Man behind the counter down our local shop. Paul Hester is with us on Please Explain. We've been enjoying your show, Paul.
Yeah. Great work, sir.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, what's...
It peaks in the last episode, as you all know. But no, there's a good one on this one on Saturday. This
what's
Saturday
happened?
Coming, we've got the great paint-off. Which we only did one during the whole series, where we built an extra bit of stage, and we have Noel Crombie, Reg Mombasa, and Pete O'Doherty from the Mentals painting. They're all doing a mural each. And through the whole performance, they just paint all night, and then they get up and sing. Bob Franklin's on. And
he's great.
He's hilarious. He takes the whole thing into a new realm. And the largest living things are bonking a song around, and Raymond J comes out, stands on a few foot pedals and falls over. And it's a real good one. For me, it's my favourite one. It's the one that smells of the shed.
Yes, well, you've obviously got a lot of comedy in there as well as the music. Are you intending...
Comedy.
Do you think he'll be having David Oldfield on to do some of his hilarious gags?
No. He's got a million of them.
One Nation have won the election in Newcastle, have they?
No, that's a stunning victory. It's an absolute stunning
victory.
That's
what they're claiming.
Oh, on your bike then.
But he's on about cannibalism again.
Yep.
Please explain.
Oh, it's just a shame he wasn't around then, so he could have been eaten. But I get the feeling every time Oldfield opens his bum mouth, it's because no one's taken any notice of him because they don't have a policy and they don't have a party. They just have a shitload of money in a bank account. So what I think he just does it because they don't do anything else other than piss people off with ignorant comments. What's he saying now, Tone?
Yes, Aboriginals were cannibals. But I'm trying to work out why he would say that. Right. It was an answer to someone, apparently, is why should we cut off Aboriginal funding? Because they're just on the chomp all day long.
It's for their own good.
There you go.
Their eyes are too big for their stomachs.
What can you do with him? Can you sew it up? Can you sew up a man like that leave a straw coming out and leave him on a seat
but
somewhere?
But Mr. Oldfield said that Aborigines were not frolicking by the seashore collecting shells.
does he know?
But the idea is he's suggesting that that's what they reckon they've been doing.
Exactly.
We're on the frolic looking for shells all day. No, they're not, says David Oldfield. You are not.
You're all wrong.
Please explain.
That's my image too of the Aboriginal way of life. That's all the images I get from news and current affairs. It's just Aboriginals frolicking along the beach.
Oh, it's like a non-stop episode of Baywatch.
Yeah. It's like the Blue Lagoon. We're all getting around like Christopher Atkins. Dear, oh dear.
Need some new material, David Oldfield.
Yeah.
Who's stumped and confused and angry, Mick?
Rod is. How are you, Rod?
Hi, fellas.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I was shopping last night, as you do, and in the lolly aisle, there's yogurt-covered apricots.
Yes.
Nothing unusual.
No.
In little letters, it's got no added sugar.
Yeah.
And then in great big letters, caffeine-free.
Please explain.
Caffeine-free apricots, you say?
Oh. Yeah.
Whatever will they think of next?
See, now I'm interested. You know what I mean? Up until that point, I was about to walk on by.
Oh. You could smoke more cigarettes if you ate those. Isn't that how it works, Mick?
Pretty
Is that
much.
What they're saying to
That's
you?
Right. Yep. I have a pack of Winnie Blues and some of those decaf apricots, thanks. Did you try one, mate?
No, I didn't try any, but is it in the yogurt or is it in the apricots?
The caffeine?
Yeah.
Gee, I think it's in the bloke who wrote on the label. Yes. Sure, he's had one latte too many, I think.
It's in the label. That's where it is.
Yeah, it's in the ink.
Well, that's a P's explained for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rod. Justin is on the line. What have you seen out and about, Justin?
Well, I was just driving down Sydney the other day, fellas, and you know how you got those charity buses for, like, disabled people and all that?
You sure are, yeah.
I pulled up at the lights next to a blind awareness society, kind of a blind society thing for blind people, and the bus had windows for some reason.
Oh,
please explain.
Just because you're not going to deny them a view just because they're sight impaired.
Oh. I came to one assumption, though.
Yeah?
I thought, you know, why restrict them from giving a pressed fruit bowl to other people, you know what I mean?
You're onto it. So they can join in too. They can put their ass up to the window and give it to everyone else.
Bit of abstract, yeah.
So
you do feel that way quite often.
So
in a bus.
They don't really miss the view, but obviously they're being denied the all-Australian right of going the fruit bowl.
Yep. I actually, I was mooning a blind bus once, and I realised it was kind of hard to, like, get my point across. So I made them feel my bottom like Braille.
Please explain.
You know, stop the bus.
Reach out the window. Just grab there. You go. Yeah, check out.
One at a time. All right.
I think the windows are there so we can look in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. So what, you would just have blind people just driving around a dark room all day wheels?
Like that bus from the Gauntlet. Clint Eastwood was driving.
All right. Well, I suppose it is a piece explained nonetheless.
There it is.
Justin, we've got a Gary on the line. Gary?
G'day, how you going?
Good. What's got you thinking?
Look, I'm really puzzled. Why is it that wherever you go in Australia to get some work done on your car, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's mechanic or auto electrician or whatever, you go to pick your car up in the afternoon, and there's your car sitting out the front, unlocked with the keys in the ignition.
Please explain.
Do they reckon they're in a theft-free zone? I mean, what are they all about?
Please explain.
But have you ever had your car stolen from the mechanics?
Funnily enough, no.
No? What are you driving there?
Nissan.
Oh, yeah. Nissan what?
Pulsar.
Oh, yes. And good, Nick?
Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
You know what I reckon they're doing?
What's that?
I reckon they just realised their own work is so crap
that there's no way anyone, even if they got the keys and the ignition and started it, they were going to drive it off because I'm an idiot. Yeah, leave it all there. I'm crap at what I do. Just leave it out. There's no way anyone's going to drive that bastard away. Yeah, no. Not in this lifetime.
Go on, mate. Try and start it.
Go on. I dare you.
I dare you.
Take anyone you like. Here, I'll throw you the keys to the Jag. Okay. Have a go at that. Bugger lugs.
Try reverse it, dear.
Well, I suppose, you know, you'd have to be pretty game. You're taking a punt stealing a car from out front of the mechanics.
You are.
I mean, it's like having a drink out front of the poison information centre. That could go horribly wrong.
That's right.
Yeah, that car with three wheels. Let's give it a crack.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, we'd have to actually see the car, Gary, to know whether it's so shit that no one would steal it.
Gary.
Gary, no one was implying that.
No.
Have we got Peter on the line? Peter?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
What have you got for us?
I'd just like to know how you're connected to South Park on the TV.
Please explain.
You'll have to do that.
The band that plays the opening and closing credits, their name is Primus.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and on one of their albums, they got a song called You Can't Kill Michael Malloy.
Is that true? Because more of a coincidence is their last album was called The Brown Album.
The Brown Album, like ours.
Oh, hang on.
Peter.
It's doing my head in.
Please explain.
They've done The Brown Album, and they've got a song called what?
You Can't Kill Michael Malloy.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come
and
on, you guys.
Please, no one put that to the test. We don't need to put that one to bed.
Okay.
Can I just say that now?
Tony and Mick are Primus. Peter?
You said you wouldn't tell.
What do you think they're taking
band,
a year off?
So are you in there somewhere,
Hesse? Sorry, I spoke.
They're a three-piece, so are you in there somewhere?
Oh,
Hesse's
in there too!
No, my new band's called Hairpiece. I'll just be roadieing for Mick and Tony. Yeah. All I've got to do is plug one lead in and get the Eskies up on stage.
All right. And is it fair to say that their South Park's back on?
Yeah, tonight, mate.
Rock and roll.
With the big Chef Aid concert.
Oh, is that one on
Chef
tonight?
Chef Aid.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. Is indeed the episode they're showing. All right, which is
good.
Our winning conundrum. We've got Rod with the caffeine-free apricots. We've got Justin with those window-compatible buses. We've got Gary with the mechanics parking your car out the front. Yes. Peter with the connection to Martin Malloy on South Park.
Well, you know, they did well. They spoke well. But I can't get over number one today, Roddy. Caffeine-free Rod.
Are you still with us, sir?
Yeah, I'm still with you, but I don't like being called Roddy.
Oh, sorry about that.
Did I say Roddy?
Yeah, it's Rod.
Sorry, mate. Sorry, Rod. Won't happen again. Promise.
My mother used to call me that.
So you imagine how angry he would have been with a couple of coffees under the belt.
You've
got the three-pack of CDs coming your way, including the caffeine-free Eat Your Peas.
Oh, yeah.
That's in there, Paul. Hesse's Shed, when's it on again?
It's on the weekend, Saturday.
Explains.
Oh, we wouldn't be running that late. There's absolutely no way. We'd like to thank Paul Hester and everybody who took part in Peas Explained. Russell Gilbert, his show's on tonight. It doesn't conflict with South Park. You'll be able to see both.
Yep.
His is on at 8:30 on Channel 9. Everybody who took part in Radio Gladiators. We will be back tomorrow. Thanks to Coca-Cola Island. Who is our guest, Sansia? Who's dropping by? Who?
Maddie P.
Haven't seen him for a little while.
Nope.
He can tell us what is going on with that pig movie.
There you go.
And just before we go, here's the fax number. If there's anything you'd like to hear before it is erased once and for all, the number is 1-800-816-679. That's not going to be erased ever. Thank you, Paul. Hey, Paul, do you want to hear our very first pilot for Martin Malloy?
Oh, that one that you've never played to anyone.
It goes way, way back. We've had a few requests for this. I don't know if it actually makes sense, but here it is, the earliest pilot we did all those years ago.
That was new music from Slade, welcoming you to another round of Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke, Mick Malloy.
Smoke 'em if you've got 'em.
Ready to go, Mick?
I'm not here for a haircut, Tone.
And don't forget, later we'll be launching our new competition, the $100 Lunchbox. But first, Mick, what do you make of this dismissal business?
It's a joke, Tone. Sir John Kerr is a dead set idiot.
Why? Because he's
stumped Gough Whitlam?
Nah, because he tried to bot a whole packet of Winnie Blues off me at the Melbourne Cup.
Ha ha ha, we're on fire today. But let's turn our attention to Michael Jackson. His new single, Burn, has been released. And the critics,
those duds,
are calling it an attempt to cross over to white mainstream radio.
Michael Jackson's living in fantasy land, Tone. When will he realise he'll always be a black guy with a big fat nose?
You're not wrong, Mick Malloy, but it's time for...
Moment of Truth.
Thanks, Pete, or as we know him, Young Master Copper Art. Mick, care to explain Moment of Truth?
There's four lies, no facts. Well, no, not necessarily four. Hang on.
Don't worry, Mick. I'm sure you'll get the hang of it eventually.
Wait a minute, Tone. Look who's just walked in.
It's our special guest, Jim Owen.
How are you, fellas? It's great to be here. I'm a big fan of your show.
Will you kids keep it down up here?
Look, it's another guest, my mum.
Turn that off and get back to bed. You two, out.
Oh, Mum.
Or there'll be no Starsky and Hutch.
Aww.
Turn that off.
Mum.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola Ireland. Pete Smith speaking.
I have accepted their resignations and I believe that their resignations are appropriate.